Unit 1. Extra Listening. Page 13. The History of Food. You are going to hear a radio program about food. Listen and choose the correct answer.
It's time again for Food for Thought, the weekly program on everything to do with food. And today, food historian Robert Davis is with me in the studio. Welcome, Robert.
Thanks, Claire. It's good to be here.
Well, Robert, you're currently writing a series of books for young people on the history of England's food and eating habits. I'm curious to know why.
I thought of the idea when my 15-year-old daughter complained that in her history lessons, she was learning very little about the daily life of ordinary people.
And, of course, eating habits and food are a big part of daily life.
Exactly. And I hope this series will bridge that gap.
We haven't got time to discuss the entire history of English food, but maybe we could talk about some little-known facts.
Yes, of course. Well, it might surprise people to learn that until the end of the Middle Ages, which were from 1000 to around 1450 AD, the eating utensils for kings and poor farmers alike were a knife and their hands. Until spoons gradually gained popularity towards the end of the Middle Ages, soup was drunk directly from the bowl. Forks weren't widely used in England until the early 1600s. And until well into the 1500s, food was generally served on a trencher, a big piece of bread, and not on plates. Stews and thick soups were often served in bowls made from bread.
I recently ate something served on a trencher of bread at a restaurant, and I thought it was a new trendy idea. Were the banquets given by the nobility during the Middle Ages as incredible as we think?
Yes, they were. They lasted for hours and often included entertainers, such as musicians and jugglers, and had as many as 20 different foods in each course. These kinds of banquets were held through the centuries, but not as often as we imagine. They were reserved for special occasions, such as weddings, New Year, and some religious days.
Now, let's talk about the early part of the 16th century, because I've got a question, and it's not about how ordinary people ate, but about King Henry VIII. It's well known that he was very fat. Did he eat an extraordinary amount?
Yes, he did. In fact, it's thought that King Henry VIII and the nobility in general consumed about 5,000 calories a day, more than farmers who did hard physical labour and about double what the average person in England consumes today.
I know we're jumping centuries here, but let's talk about the present day. It seems like foreign food is more popular here now than the meat and vegetable dishes that you and I grew up with.
I haven't got any statistics on that, but we love Middle Eastern, Chinese, Thai and Indian food, judging by the number of those restaurants. But foreign influence is nothing new. Potatoes, which we all think of as a very English food, came here from South America in the 16th century, and tomatoes came from there as well.
I once heard that Worcester sauce, the spicy seasoning for meat, which we think of as being very English, actually originated in India.
That's true. Lord Marcus Sandys, who had been the governor in Bengal, India, brought the recipe from there. He gave it to two chemists, who then devised the first commercial version in 1837.
And tea, of course. That's something else we think of as being very English, but it also came from India.
That's right. and it became popular in the mid-1800s when England began importing it in great amounts. Before that, hot chocolate and coffee had been the preferred hot drinks.
Well, we're nearly out of time, but I'd love to know the origin of the dish that most foreigners probably think of when they think of English food, fish and chips. Surely that's a purely English invention and has been around for hundreds of years.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, Claire, but the combination of fish and chips has only been around since 1860, although fried fish was popular on its own in England for a long time before that. It's thought that the addition of the flour batter on the fish was brought to England by 17th century immigrants from Spain and Portugal. And chips, which food historians generally agree originated in Belgium and Holland, were a popular fast food in Lancashire. But it wasn't until 1860 that fish and chips were brought together. It's thought that a man called Joseph Malin opened the first fish and chip shop in London that year.
Well, I'd never have guessed that fish and chips has only been around for about 150 years. Thanks for being here, Robert. Next week, my guests will be Dr. Ryan Brill, who is going to talk to us about...